Well, we're going to go back to our teaching this morning. I started off last week on a series I call Why Christians Need to Meditate on God's Word. And we're going to look this, as we go into this, we're going to be looking at it. You're going to hear things differently probably than you were taught before about meditation. Because one of the things I've learned over time, and God has really dealt with me a lot over the years, because we do this and understand in teaching, we take a certain segment of teaching and teach, you know, a certain segment of things. But sometimes people just departmentalize everything when really the things of God all fit together. They all work together, and you got to be able to see how this fits in life. And we need to understand this about meditation. As people categorize it into one area, and really it's about a lifestyle of living. It's how you live. You know, everybody all the time, just right now, you're meditating, you're thinking about something. You're going over something in your mind, good, bad, or indifferent, whatever. No. You're going something over in your mind. You have meditations no matter what you do. You know, meditation isn't something you do in a closet somewhere with your legs folded and your hands like this and people say, empty your mind. We got enough empty minds. Don't do that. America's full of empty heads. Meditation's about putting something in your mind. Meditation's about putting something in, not taking anything out. It's about setting a specific direction. Bible meditation's about setting a specific direction to think on things, a specific area you want to think into, that you want to meditate on, and that. So as we're going to go into look at this. Now, last week we looked at the things. God had given me an opening scriptures was from Isaiah 55, and we looked there in those scriptures. Yes, one of the things that it said in opening verse 6 was seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he's near. That's a really huge, important thing that we need to know this. We need to know about this, about God and God's character. God just don't reveal things to you just because you need to know something. It don't work that way. Just because, do you ever notice that there? Just because you need to know how to do math, you don't learn how to do math just because you need to know it. It don't show up and all of a sudden I know math. It don't happen that way. You have to do something about getting math. You're going to have to seek to learn math. That's the way you're going to have. Well, God's word's the same way. You got to seek. And, you know, over in the Hebrew and also in the Greek, the word seek is the idea of looking for something like it's lost. In other words, it's a real search. You ain't sought for God unless you're really going after. It's not a casual thing. You know, you can sit here in church today and listen to me teach and never seek God. Amen. Never be a seeker of God. Yeah, you'd be just casual listener, listen to things, and hey, that was really nice, and that was good. Go on. Never be a seeker. Never really looking for something. You know, I always think about this, and I've all thought about this for years, and it's not in criticism, but I've thought about it, because people say, well, did you come to receive today? And people say, yeah. I'd love to get up and say, well, what did you come to receive? Tell me what it was. What is it that you came to get? What are you looking for? You know what? Yeah, I don't want to embarrass everybody. Because people, well, I want to know more about God. More about what about God? What is it you want? When we seek, seeking is a specific thing. It is not a overall. What are you looking for? You know, there's things you need to know at the time as you need to know that you're doing. You know, if I'm going through something, a health battle, I get out the Bible and I look into and search into the area concerning healing. I meditate on that stuff, put stuff in me concerning that. Now, I know and I know what to believe of the Word, but I'll get that out. And I'll make that a concentration on things to turn that thing around. Whatever it is, I do that. And so, you have to, what are you looking for? What do you need at the time? You know, you ought to sit down and look at some priorities. You know, so many Christians, they don't have any priorities of what they're trying to do, so they never really get anywhere. They will have, you know, 20 things they different need to know. But what do you need to know now? What is situation? What's the most important right now? And take time to go after that. See, most people, they need 47 different things, and they never get none of them. They're just sort of generally a little here, a general a little there. We don't have in the body of Christ very, very little systematic teaching. Kenneth Hagin, the Lord told him about starting a Bible school, and the Lord told him the Bible school was not his perfect will. I thought, ain't that strange? He said, no. He said, my perfect will was for the church to raise up, churches to raise up ministers. But he said they don't do it. They don't teach well enough or anything like that to raise up. See, Bible schools and stuff weren't God's specialty. He had to do that because basically ministers are not taking the time because the people like to hear, you know, give me something different every Sunday. Give me a different flavor lollipop every Sunday. I want a different, don't take that. I teach in series. Uh-huh. You know, a lot of people don't like that because I want something different. I remember one minister said, his people came to him and said, why do you teach on faith all the time? Why don't you teach on this or that? He said, well, when you get faith and learn how to operate in it, he said, we'll go on to something else. There's no use. Hey, since what we do today, you know, if the kids don't learn in school, you pass them on the next grade anyhow. It don't matter if they learn. See, nobody cares if anybody learns anymore. And the church is identical. That's how the world got it, because that spirit's in the church. They got it from the church. Because the church does that. Just pass the people on. Tell them they're going to be okay. Now, I'm sorry, the meteor is going to hit you in the head. Just get over it. You don't do anything. You stand out there and you don't move out of the way. It's going to knock you out. That's what it is. You got to learn. So you sit down. And meditation's about this. We're going to find as we go on. So when we deal in these areas of meditation, but it went on to say, God spoke to them, to Israel, and we found in Him speaking to these, to Israel, in Isaiah, was because they got away from God. And He said, you know, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. It was because, it wasn't because it couldn't have been. They got away from God and weren't following God's way. So God said, you know, my thoughts aren't your thoughts, and my ways aren't your ways. Well, it could be the same for us today. You can be a born-again Christian, but your ways are not God's ways or your thoughts. It depends. You seek the Lord. You're going to have to seek the Lord, and that's the thing. You have to have a life of seeking. It's not something you do at certain times. It's a life. It's just the way you live. You live seeking God. Don't ever think you arrived. Don't ever get the thought that you've arrived. We don't arrive. We just learn more and more. I mean, you're never going to know. You're never going to know all the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost knows. You're never going to know it. Just forget it. I don't. If you want to know all that the Holy Ghost knows, you'd never get to heaven. You have to keep us here forever, living, trying to get somewhere. Thank God, hallelujah. But you know, while we're here, let's try to allow God to reveal Himself as much as He can to us, to develop us as much as He can, and we do that. This is not some hard thing. You are following these principles in your life one way or the other. You have things that are important to you that you seek a lot. That you spend a lot of time seeking. I'm not teaching principles. This is something different in life. This is, you're doing all of this now all the time. You have your meditations, your thoughts. You have the things that you seek. Just like me, I have the things that I seek. Now there's things in that, this doesn't mean naturally concerning education, learning how to do things. There's nothing wrong with that. I think though if you're going to do something, do it good. Don't do it part way. Get in it and get it good. Be good at what you do. Be good at what you, become proficient in your field that you're in. If you're a person who don't like to learn new things, stay at home. A lot of people be happier. When people arrive at that place, because why? Things change all the time. Even in Christian, I'm living in a different world than I was born in. Mm-hmm. Amen. You either learn how to figure this thing out and walk in this thing today. You either figure out and know it how, or you're a misery and you make everybody else miserable with you that you try to get around. If people are trying to avoid you, that's a good reason why they may be. You know, some of that people are like that. So we want to develop you, become good at what you do. You can use these principles. I learned to use these principles in every way of my life of doing things, is learning to, because these principles of God's Word, you're going to have to measure them against all what you go around and do in life that you develop. You know, your moral character should be the same no matter what situations you're in, no matter what's going on. You know, you can see, it's like, you know, I've told people, you know, there's people today, they just in the news and stuff all the time and know all this stuff that's going on in politics and, you know, and everything. And they're trying to fight and people are upset and mad about all kind of stuff. I learned I can't keep that in my meditation. I can't do that. I have to guard myself. Because, you know, the people that are telling us all this stuff, they don't have Ed's interest in mind. They're selling advertising time, making money, making billions. Trying to make me mad. That's right. Get over it. they're trying to cheat me out of my prosperity. The devil's using them to want to get me into the field where I'm angry walking around and God, I can't get a hold of the blessing of God. Where my faith don't work. Now I ain't mad at them. They're acting like the devil, their daddy.
Yeah, amen.
That's what they're acting like. They're telling, how many of you want to have a really good time? Let's go watch the news. We're going to have a great time today. We're just going to have fun today. Going to enjoy life because they're going to bring out all the wonderful things that are happening out there. You ever run into people like that? You just can't. Run into people that are like that. You don't ask them how they're doing. Don't ever say that to certain people. Because you're going to hear a story that's going to be like, oh my God, why did I open my mouth? Oh, you shouldn't have done that. 20 minutes later, they're still telling you, oh, that went wrong and everything. And I say, and I just, I can top that. Well, you never seen the problems I have. You know, it's just with me. One of the things I've learned to do, I look at people just like when I was in visiting Eileen, I was saying, I ain't got a right to complain in life.
Amen.
I don't care what's going on with me. I ain't got a right to complain.
Amen.
Now, I've learned to just look at that. I'll tell you, the first time I really got embarrassed and did a lot of repenting, I went down to Peru. And I was on a mission trip, went down there, and I went into the area there from Lima called the Devil's Mouth. And saw how those people, a million people living in that ghetto, I mean, ain't nobody ever seen one. Ain't one in America like that. When I went down there, I spent a lot of time repenting and said, Lord, what nerve have I ever had, the complaints that I've had. Oh my God. The worst thing that ever happened to me was 1,000 times better than the best that happened to them any day.
Amen.
And I just, you know, I said, man. So you need that every once in a while. You need to get out of America and go, because you know, here in America we have all this stuff about, you know, all the starving kids and all the stuff we have down here and all this kind of stuff, and you ain't ever seen it, you know. Why we go to these places that have all these starving kids weigh 300 pounds? Yeah, they're starving. They need bigger pants. I ain't got no money. I can't afford food and I weigh 400 pounds. It's like, get enough of it. We have the ridiculous. And what happens, try this, is the people who really do need help never get it. Because we're so busy taking care of the lame and the lazy. And the people who really need help don't ever get it. Feeling good about ourselves. That's another story. Hallelujah. Well, God said that His Word was like the rain that comes down to the earth. Causes a seed to grow. And He said His Word doesn't return to Him void. But we went over to 1 Corinthians and we looked at last week because of this. We looked because we, the church, operate on a different level than they did. The word came down to them. You and I have something different. I'm going to go. We looked at 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. But we looked at those scriptures of the fact that we now have the Holy Spirit in us, the teacher. And He's in there for this purpose, to tell us, to show us freely all the things that God's given to us. That's what He's in there for. See, we're not trying to get the word to come down. The word lives in you. The Holy Ghost is inside of you, the teacher of the church. See, lots of times, a lot of times I was all taught, and I always heard these ministers, you know, teach. They always teach the church from Isaiah 55, like we're still trying to operate from that standpoint. That's not us today. That's not the church. That's not the church. It don't mean we can't learn things from that. There's things you can learn. But you need to know the church. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You're not trying to get God to give you anything. He's already given to you. In fact, the wonderful thing about it is this scripture ends up with, on verse 16, it says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" But we have the mind of Christ. It said we have it. The mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit. and you have it. You're not trying to get it. You have the mind of God is a person of the Godhead living in you.
Hallelujah.
Woo! That's phenomenal. You know, it would have been nice if God would have just come sending something down. But my words, God moved in so you could know. Hallelujah. So see, when you seek God, people talk about seeking God. I'm not looking to God way out there. God's in here. God's right here. You know, these people say, don't look. I've heard ministers say, well, you're like, our prayers aren't reaching the heaven. My prayers don't have to reach the heaven. I talk to God in me. Hallelujah. And see, get this. See, we got to get a whole new way of thinking. So we got to change. See, it's what men meditate on. People think about God never how they accepted the way things are, what people told them. You know, one thing is I loved about Brother Hagin. He'd always say, don't ever, you know, believe something just because I say it. He said, you go look in the scripture for yourself and see what it says. Most people never do that. They just listen to a preacher. And you'd find out there's a lot of things that aren't told on the level. You can learn things that are told on a higher level. You can go higher. And see, and I was always, thank God, go read the scriptures for yourself. Let the one inside of you teach you too. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the anointing on them to teach. But Brother Hagin used to always tell us, he said, I expect you to go further than I did. And thank God, I wanted all the wonderful things that I learned under his ministry, but I've learned a lot of things that I never heard him teach on. Why? Because he taught me how to listen. He taught me where God was at.
Amen.
And see, you need to understand that. Most of the church don't know where God's at. They don't know. You know, they talk about God, they're trying to reach God. I'll tell them, you know, yeah, God lives in us. Well, you know, you can know that, but it's whatever you do with it is what your results are going to be. It's like I said, don't matter how much what you believe or know, it's what you do with what you believe and know produces it. You can believe all the right things and never have nothing.
Amen.
If you don't ever do nothing with it. It's what you do. And so this is what we find out in meditation. We're going to look today in meditation. Hallelujah. You know, the meditation, I said, it's not clearing your minds. We're trying to put thoughts in them. Now, I'm going to go to scripture in the Old Testament to Joshua, the first chapter, because it's one they use in the areas of meditation, because there is things that we can learn there. But there's a lot more that in areas and things that we can learn in scripture. But in Joshua, God spoke to Joshua here. Joshua was going in and taking the people into the land of Canaan. Moses has died, and now he's the leader. I'm going to just read for starting verse 5. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to you, their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you to do, not turning from it to the right hand or the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And then in verse 9 says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, I want you, as we go into this to teach us, I want you to notice one of the things, see, that we did in teaching. The Lord brought this out to me. Everybody mostly reads these scriptures and emphasize meditation. You know that? Meditate. That's only in there one time. Be strong and courageous is in there three times. Do's in there twice. So I'm just going to tell you this. You need to concentrate more on the strong and courageous, and then the next is the doing. Then we'll talk about meditation. See, what's God emphasizing here? He wasn't commanded to meditate, but he was commanded to be strong and courageous. See, we need to pick up on something. See, as one thing is, if God emphasizes a certain thing the most, that's probably what you need to know about the most. And see, we need to know, he told him to be strong and courageous. Why would he tell him such a thing? You know why? He's leading a group that's over 1 million people. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I don't have to deal with that. Say, Lord, if God didn't lay his hand on me to make me president, I would never want to be a president. I just, God, who wants to lead this rabble? Now here's what God told him to do. Now this is a lousy job. See, you might think you're on a bad job. You've got a great job. He's got to take these people in and to divide the land. You have 100 people and try to divide the land. Try it sometimes. You can't get 100 Christians you take in without some fussing and fight. It ain't happening. He's telling you, you be strong and courageous. Why? Because you're going to need to be. Or you're going to be like John. Lord, should we call fire down on them? That's what you'll be doing. Come on, let's be real. This is not an easy job. I mean, they got Moses so mad he couldn't come into the land. He sinned. God took him home. I mean, come on. It's not an easy group to go with. Hallelujah. So many times I have to apologize to the Lord. You know, sometimes, Lord, I'm not always so easy to lead. I know you guys, I'm just telling you what my problem is. I know you guys don't have this, so I just give you the opportunity to hear about me. Okay. But see, he's a big job, but you need to understand this. It's no different in this life. Right now, the reason so many people, even Christians, are having such hard times is they have never developed spiritually, they've never developed enough character, and their people are in turmoil in this age. And they are because they haven't developed themselves. You know, when the war comes, there's nobody trained for war. Everybody's been trained for fluff, sitting around the pool, you know, drinking, you know, lemonade, little umbrellas in it, you know, and other stuff. And we're just got all our lotion on, you know, on the beach. I'm so blessed. And when the fighting starts, what? This is happening out here? We need to call a prayer chain. That's good preaching, folks. See, God trained me from a young Christian. It was about being a soldier. So we talked to him. He said, I'm going to teach you to walk by faith by your military training. And you know what? This day and age hasn't thrown me. Wow, I've always been ready for a fight. Because there's always a faith fight. It's just like now, dealing, you know, with things. You have things, people happening in church. This is a faith fight. This is the time to say, wimps don't go to war. Right. Only the strong and courageous. Amen. Wimps don't go to war. You know, wimps avoid the draft. Wimps don't go to battle. I see, we need this. This don't trouble me. I've been raised up for God for these days.
Hallelujah.
To stand in these days. We need people to stand.
Amen.
I'm not standing because I'm so bright. He was bright and taught me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He would tell me this. He said, you're, I'm raising you up for the last day. You're going to need to stand. Mm-hmm. People to stand. This was what it's about. People to stand. Not people to, well, you know, a little bit of God, you know, and oh, it's all wonderful and go run off somewhere. No, this is an everyday life.
Amen.
This is an everyday life. And life ain't pretty for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know, we think of the things, you know, the guy that don't complain, there's nothing wrong in his life. No, he just don't complain like everybody else.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, I have things go wrong. But you know what? I don't blow my horn to everybody what's going wrong with me. Dear Lord, I ain't got time. I'm too busy. You're being a soldier. You got to fight the battles that you have to fight. Amen. You don't go time. You got time to go sit down and whine.
Amen.
You don't win wars. That's why America couldn't. They couldn't win a war. The Girl Scouts had licked the American Army. Why? The whole thing is now. It's how many whiners you can get. How many people? Nobody can take nothing anymore. We have a military today that can't go off to war and everybody falls apart till they come back home and everybody's so messed up they can't. What happens? But because people haven't been trained in life. People haven't been trained to endure. See, we need that. walking by faith, you're going to have to endure.
Amen.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Amen.
Sometimes it seems like there's more bad and ugly than there is good. But you got to endure. You got to walk and live. This is where it's at. Because one thing it is, you're going to run into ugly.
Amen.
And you'll run into ugly one day and nobody will pray it off of you either.
Mm-hmm.
You'll develop for the battle. People fall by the wayside. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? And so, it's just about standing. You know, I'm not trying to be mean or anything. This is just the way that it is. It's life out here.
Amen.
He told them to be strong and courageous. You know, in the book of Joel, which speaks of the end times, it was talking to Israel, but it was speaking to Israel about like a fight, like an army. But really, we know the spiritual side of it. It's dealing with the end times and the end days. And in Joel in 3:10, it says, "To beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears." And he said, "Let the weak say I'm strong." See, you're going off to war. See, you need to know as a Christian, quit whining. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the weak say I'm strong. We're in a war. Talk about strength. Don't sit around and talk about weakness, because I'll tell you, the more you do, your meditation is on weakness, that's what you'll be. No, I'll tell you, I'm walking through this thing.
Amen.
I'm going through it, you know. I ain't trying to skirt the mountain, but maybe let's find a way to get around the problems. No, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to leap over the wall.
Hallelujah.
You see, we got to decide, what are we going to do? Christianity, faith ain't about not skirting a darn thing. It's about looking the enemy in the eye.
Amen.
We cast out devils.
Preach.
We don't pat them and pet them and give them medication.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We cast them out. See, we got to become those people again that we can look at the problems and things that we can look at it in the eye. You have to be able to do that. You have to be able to do things without fear. See, this meditation thing, this meditation isn't something you do away somewhere all the time. Sometimes you need maybe just spend some time alone away from everybody and meditate on things. But you're going to all the time out here. You're going to be meditation. There's going to be thoughts. You're going to have thinking. Let me just say about the word to meditate itself, what it means. Because we always, they always say, well, it's to murmur, murmur, it says to by, you know, implication, to ponder, to imagine, to meditate. It also means you can do it either way. It says either for pleasure or anger. See, you can either do it for good or bad. See, people meditate for good and bad. Some people meditate enough to destroy themselves. Thinking on the bad. Always think about what's wrong. And they meditate. But it goes on to say this. It says to mourn. It says to mutter. Also means to roar. It means to study, to speak, to talk, to utter. It isn't just quietly always talking to you. Sometimes, man, in the middle of the battle, I get pretty voicey. That's my meditation. You know, sometimes you got to talk over the noise of the war. That's my meditation. In the middle of the battle, I'm saying stuff. In the middle of the war, I'm speaking things. I ain't in the closet. You don't get in the closet. I gotta come out and face the war.
Hallelujah.
And you come out, face the problems, whatever's going on. And you talk, and you say certain things. What is your meditation when trouble's going on? Is it, oh, why me, God? Why does this happen to me? I have had this past year wonderful, multiple opportunities to say, God, why me? I refuse that.
Amen.
And I say, praise God.
Hallelujah.
I'm on top of my game. Glory to God.
Amen.
Trouble comes, we're just going to walk to go. I ain't going to lose my joy over this thing. Hallelujah. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand. But I tell you what, it's scared of Ed.
Hallelujah.
See, well, it don't look like a scared. Hide and watch. You'll see it. Glory to God. Just stick around long enough. You'll see it. But see, you gotta, in the times of trouble, what's your meditation? Be strong. Do you know, he didn't say God's gonna make you strong. You determine whether you're strong. You determine whether you're strong or not. You determine that. You determine. One of the things we need to do is the things that he talked about twice he said about doing. Do you notice that he made meditation and doing? Meditate in a day and night that you may observe what to do. You meditate so you can become a doer.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Did he say you meditate so you become a believer?
Nope.
No. You meditate till you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to tell you this about the walk of faith. It's not for the weak and faint-hearted.
Amen. Preach.
Because, see, walking in faith with God is contrary to everything in this world. It's contrary. It don't make any sense walking around believing you got something nobody can see. Don't make a bit of sense. They're going to run you down on it. Christians will run you down. I don't, well, I ain't going to believe this. I can't see it. I don't see it. Yeah, you say it. I don't see it. Now, yeah, that's always my favorite statement. I always look at them and say, hide and watch. You're going to see it show up for me.
Amen.
And then you're going to be stupid and come and say, boy, are you lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say, yeah, and you're stupid. See, faith will produce.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But what's your meditation? See, lots of times, I've learned this about Christians. Many times, faith people believe the right thing, but they ain't doing the right thing.
Amen. Preach.
You know? Join Mike and read over there and get over there into James and read it, what James said. It's the doer of the words. The doer.
Amen.
It's not the... It's, I don't care. You believe all the right stuff. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know? You believe you need to do something. I believe I need to go to work. Well, paychecks don't show up because I believe I need to go to work. I don't... Do they? They don't. They don't show up. Christians think they do, though. You know, I'm believing. I believe it. Yeah. They don't. They happen to anything in life. Like the doer.
That's right.
The doer. You know, if you ain't put no money in the bank, you ain't done that. Don't get down there looking for money. It's in the doing. It's in the doing. See, it's believing the right things. Now, it's good to believe the right thing, but believing the right thing and not doing it is worthless.
Amen.
The guy who knows to do good and do it not, it's to him it's sin. It's a sin to know the right thing to do and do something else. It's a sin. It's a sin. See, in meditation, one of the things that I looked up because I saw this in the definition that was given for the under Strong's for the. Well, the Hebrew word used for meditation, and they said roar was one of the words just to roar. And then it said times sore. Now the word sore, it's not talking about like, I have a sore arm. Sore, and I was wondering, what the Hebrew, because they're talking about this from a Hebrew standpoint, of what does that word mean, that word sore? And I found out that word sore, looking it up to find out about it, it means to be diligently, especially exceedingly. To be far, to be good greatly, louder and louder, mightily, so mighty, quickly, soar utterly, very much and well. In other words, meditation requires exertion.
Amen.
Oh, I thought it was, you know, crossing your legs and then, I'm just thinking on God. See, a lot of my time of meditation is really sort of pushing. You're going through things in life and things are happening. You're out here doing stuff and you got to push ahead because things are contrary to what you're walking in and what you're doing. I'll tell you what, it takes work sometimes. Meditation. Did you ever have the big fight when you went to bed? You were doing good while you were awake, believing the right thing, and you went to bed and all of a sudden, all the thoughts of the day started running over towards you and they just corralled you and jumped on you on the bed. And you were laying there and you're in a fight to keep your mind stayed on the Lord.
Amen.
You have all this stuff. Worry wants to come. Now, I know you guys don't have it. I face that sometimes. Things want to come. They want to come. I've had things you're dealing with stuff. You get yourself straightened out. I'd fall asleep, turn around and wake up later on the night. And worry is right there wanting to try. And I'm, oh, no, you don't. Oh, no. See, this is the time of meditation. You have a choice. You're going to think about that. What are you going to think about? I'll tell you, sometimes it takes some work.
Amen.
It takes some work of grabbing a hold of your mind and your flesh and say, shut up. This is what we're going to believe.
Amen.
This is the way that it is. It takes a fight. See, if you're weak and not strong, you're licked. The devil's going to wrestle you down and own your bedroom.
Amen.
He's going to own your sleep.
Yep.
So you got to learn to fight. You got to recognize, say, uh-uh, devil, you ain't got to bring that here. No, ha-ha. Glory to God, I'm going over, not under.
Amen. Praise
the Lord. He said, well, do you see this? And do you see that? And do you see what happened over here? Did you see what happened over there? And I say, yeah, but it's not coming nigh me. Glory to God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You'll have a meditation. You're going to have a meditation. Everybody fights these battles all the time. And I'm going to tell you what, it takes courage and it takes strength.
Amen.
It's easy to just go, oh yeah, poor old me. And I have these problems. Well, I've had people tell me, you know, oh, I'm just not like that. I say, sure you're not. I know your meditations. What you think? You're a weakling and you made yourself that way. And you just try to push it off and it's all right. No, it's not.
Amen. Preach.
You can't stand. Mm-hmm. You're going to have trouble.
Amen.
Everybody can't stand for you. You know, God has used me many times to uphold people, but you can't do it all the time. I've had people where the Lord told me to quit praying for them.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you can't do nothing for them. They know what to do, and they won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let them alone. You're in bad shape when God can't even help you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's loads of people in that, loads of Christians in that place. Why? Mm-hmm. They're not seekers. They ain't trying to be strong. They're just trying to play the get-by game, the get-by Christianity. It don't work that way. It's not that way.
Mm-hmm.
There's a war, and it's coming down the road. You know, I was, it was 2019, I had a blood clot in my lung. And so, but I remember after, you know, things and, God just did some miraculous things for me. But anyhow, I was talking to a cardiologist afterward and he was explaining to me about certain things. And then I said, I don't expect you to be able to take care of everything about my health. I said, you can't do that. I said, it has to do with me and what I'm going to do. And, he said, can I have you come in and talk to my patients? See, you got to learn this. See, we have a society today that has become, they're weaklings, always dependent on somebody else to take care of them. Always somebody else supposed to do something. Somebody else, you know. We have the government today. This is what elections are about. You know, this is what elections are about. Even from the people who like Trump. I mean, Trump today, you know, that's all the thing that he just said about it. It's almost like he was the savior of America. America wouldn't be as well off today if it was. It wouldn't be for me. He don't even recognize God. I mean, he don't even think, I mean, he's just his thing. It's like, come on, give me a break. But see, people buy this stuff and they do. I'm looking for a savior. Well, there is one coming for Satan, and he's called the Antichrist. He is a coming, and his spirit is already here powerfully.
Amen.
That's right.
And he's going to be the savior of many Christians. They're going to follow after him. Well, follow after that rot. They already are. The government ought to do this. They ought to take care of me, you know. They ought to make sure that I, you know, have a good job. They ought to make sure that I have this. There's this thing about out here. Why? So you don't have to trust God. You don't have to seek. You don't have to do that. You just use your time like you want to. You don't have to control your thoughts. It's their idea. They're supposed to keep you happy. What a stupid thing. You can't keep the morons in this nation happy. I tell you what. It ain't happening. And people are trying to. I gave that up a long time ago for a bad job. I don't even try to keep Christians happy. Because you preach the truth. My God, they got bags of rocks.
Amen.
See, it makes me nervous. I want somebody to tell me everything's all right. My God, I ain't going to lie to nobody. My God, I ain't all right about everything. Dear Lord. Just like, what on earth? And so, you know, it requires something of us, but we need to get a hold of this thing, especially in looking here in the scriptures concerning meditation, especially the areas to do. We need to be strong and we need to do. We need to get thought in that thing is to do. See, you can't be afraid. Nobody will overcome fear just praying. I'm going to overcome. God help me. God help me. Doing that kind of thing. You know, I'll tell the story. See, when I was a kid, I was dominated fear. Man, I was afraid. I was scared of heights. Man, I'll tell you what. You know, you got me 5 feet off the ground and I was scared. You know, anything up, I get up high. I couldn't get up high. I was scared. I mean, I would just freeze. I would, you know, up high. So, you know, my parents and stuff, they were Christians. We went to church and things, but they didn't know anything about that stuff. You know, there's things you just go through in life and you have. But anyhow, you know, I was dealing with the areas of fear. And, see, I didn't like it because we live in a country and my friends and stuff that were around and we did stuff together and they'd climb trees and stuff and, yeah, they, you know, build tree houses and that stuff. Kids, you do those things and, you know, you know, I'm Mr. Scared. I'm just Mr. Scared. I mean, I can't go do it. This is terrible. I just decided as a kid, I got to get myself to do this. See, I decided to do something about it. I decided. See, I know Christians, I have this all the time. This happens all the time. I go to meetings and stuff at places, and I'm with ministers. And them and their wives get on an elevator, and you'll always have an idiot in the bunch. I hate being in closed areas. Say, get over yourself. Start believing God. Do something. So you can't help your people. You're scared of an elevator? My God, don't talk about all this faith stuff. I mean, this is a constant. Happen all the time. And I think, dear Lord, what are these poor people hearing in church? They stand up and tell you all this stuff. They couldn't live it for nothing.
Amen.
Scared of an elevator. The sinners jump on the sucker and say, let's go! So what I did was this, you know, you're going to have to do. See, I'm going to have to do. You can sit and pray God to deliver you from something till you walk toward that thing, till you ain't, just forget it, stay bound.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to act in faith. You're going to have to do.
Amen.
See, you can meditate. See, this one, whom the Son set free is free indeed. See, there's things, I mean, I knew I was free of. The Bible says I'm free. But see, I got to walk toward it.
Amen.
Now that changes the whole story. Because what I believe and what I'm doing, I'm staying away from what I'm afraid of. And we're over here claiming, I'm free. Walk over there. No, it'll bite me. I ain't going over there. It's going to bite me. That's just what people do. They're waiting. Well, you know, God's working in me. No, he's not. If he can't get you to do it, can't work. He reveals truth to you. And then you act on the truth.
Amen.
This is the system. The system, he don't do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
My God. If he does, I've been missing out on a lot. I'm going to have to talk to him about that because he needs to get doing some stuff, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But he don't. You got to do it.
Amen.
And this is where courage comes. This is courage on the things that you have to face.
Amen.
I started this as a kid. This wasn't no spiritual thing. This is just me doing something people say in the natural, but I was doing a thing. Really, it was a spiritual truth. I didn't know it at the time. I started going up and started climbing up on things. Oh man, I was having a rough time. But I just thought, I want to play with my friends. I want to do something. See, most people, they know. Here's what we do. You get people messed up and squirrely, they join a group of people every week who have the same squirrely problem and meet together and talk about their problem. And call that, this really helps me. Nobody ever gets free. 10 years later, they're still in the same group complaining about the same stuff. You know what? The churches are full of the groups. Why? The thing the church doesn't teach is doing. First of all, they don't teach what's commanded of you to do. They won't tell you that. No, I don't want to make anybody think, no, I'm free. I'm not commanded to do anything. See, I'm free. That's right. You're free to be bound by the devil. Have at it. You got that freedom. Then what you find out is truth, you have to learn to put it to use. It's not always easy to do. It's not always an easy thing to do. And so I started crying and calling up and things. I just kept going up. I kept fighting this thing. I'd just go do it. I'd go out. You know, we had some chicken houses, not like the ones today, these huge long things. They were smaller then. We had 2 stories and stuff. But I remember like some of them were single stories. I'd crawl up on a roof. And I'm going to tell you what. That was work. I didn't go up there at first because I was so courageous. I didn't feel courageous. But I'd go up there. I just kept going up. I just kept refusing. I'm not going to let this run my life. I'm not going to let this do this.
Amen.
I'm a little kid and I could get over it. It just amazes me the Christians can't get over the littlest darn things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, come on. You know, if the devil's telling me to stay away, I'm going to move over there. Don't touch that. I'll be right over. See, some of you were brats as kids. Your parents told you to stay away from something you wouldn't. You got to be a Christian, and you just away from everything. I don't want to touch nothing unclean. The the devil tells me don't touch, I'm coming over right now. We're touching it.
Amen.
You have to learn to do that. And I kept doing that till after a while. I could crawl up on things. I could do stuff. But I just stayed at it. I refused. I didn't know at the time the principle I was following. I didn't understand it. All I knew is I wanted to play with the other kids. I wanted to play with the other kids. I didn't want to be, you know, the guy that said, no, today what they do is they take the kid that can't make it in the group and they pull him out to himself. And all you people that can climb on things, you come over and never climb on anything. Keep that little bugger happy. That's right. Let's get with it. That's what it is. This is America the Stupid. We need to make up a song about America the Stupid. Our ignorance is so beyond the beauty of the nation. We're destroying everything because we're going against the Word of God. That's why your meditation and following God today, you're contrary to so much that's going on. You're contrary to it. Well, you've got to make sure that you're not thinking, because the world stuff is into the church up to here. We're standing in the world's ways of teaching and thinking up to here. We just got to decide, you're going to push this stuff off. I ain't going to think that way. The Bible says it's this way. This is the way I'm going to think it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Here's what I'm going to do. This is the way I'm going to walk. I'm going to think like this. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to walk in what's right. See, it seems so contrary today. But see, you got to follow the Word. Number one, you got to know the Word. You know, it doesn't matter what you believe. If you don't have Scripture to prove it, you're just blowing wind. And even for anybody that comes along, you may have a right moral idea, but if you can't convey it to a person from the Word, to another Christian, you got to be able to convey it to them from the Scripture. Mm-hmm. If you can't, who cares what you believe? Everybody around has their beliefs. No, it's what the Bible says.
Amen.
The Bible tells me what the hang. You know, the Bible don't tell me stay and hide out from the sinners of the world. But it tells me that if Christians do certain things, I ain't even supposed to eat with them. It tells me I don't judge the world on the outside, but Paul said I'm supposed to judge in the church. Mm-hmm. People living immoral in the church, we're supposed to judge it. Say, hey, hold it. Take them to Scripture. This is what the Bible says about your immorality in the church. It says a little leaven's a whole lump. I ain't letting your trash get on me. You ain't dumping your garbage in my yard.
Amen.
We don't do none of that. No, we say, just spread it. Run around, wear a mask, trying to keep, you know, the virus away from everything, while we dump sin in the church like crazy, dumping it on everybody. It gets on people. People are all messed up. Spread it and call it love. We love sin. Oh, you got to love the sinner. I love the sinner. I hate what they do. I hate it. I ain't going to practice. God loves them. God loves them so much, if they don't accept Jesus, He's going to put them in eternal punishment. Because He will not override their will. And He won't override our will. He won't override my will. If I go along with stupid, hey, my doing's going to get stupid. And stupid's going to come and knock on the door, and I'm going to have to live with stupid. That's just the way it is. See, he's learned that. I've learned that. I thank God, you know, when Brother Hagin's little book, Don't Blame God, one of the first books that I got of his, and I read that, and I just learned, there's mess up in my life. God's on the board helping. Anybody's going to help me. But if mess up comes in my life, I'm the guy making the decisions. You know, you can't blame your mommy and daddy anymore. You've grown up. What they did or didn't do, you have choices now. Your life's messed up because of your choices. I can't blame my mommy and daddy for nothing.
Amen.
I've been on my own for many years.
Hallelujah.
I know how to mess me up good. And believe me, I tried a lot of it. Wasn't none of my fault. Wasn't none of my parents. Well, this is the way that I was raised. I had a choice.
Amen.
When I'm out on my own, I have a choice. See, I train my children that way. I told my kids, see, when they live in my house, I'm king, mama's queen, and you're all service. In my house, I'll tell you how to live. You come and live in my house, I tell you how to live. I don't care how old you are. You come and live in my house, I'm paying the bills. When you go out on your own and pay the bills, you can make any decision you want.
Amen.
But not in my house.
Hallelujah.
I'm king, mama's queen, and anybody else comes in, you're served.
Yep.
In our house, there's only one king and one queen.
Amen.
That's it. But, you know, in our children, we grow up, when you get old enough, then you're allowed to make decisions. But here, you don't ever get that old. If any decision, you're going to come to place, I give permission to you to make a decision. But, hey, why? You, and see, you know what happened? Our kids grew up, and they grew up good. They learned how to take care of themselves. They learned how to become responsible for their lives.
Amen.
See, you don't like what Dad says. Now you get to make decisions. You can't come back and yell at Dad. This is your baby. Don't come home to me and say, hey, it ain't working. Well, bye-bye. Have a good time. I ain't fixing it for you. You know? There's just people today. I mean, kids going all the way through college and that stuff and just living at home with mom and dad still can't make way of life. That's a good sign of stupid. Stuff is so bad off. So crazy. So dumb. People can't make a way in their life. They can't. Why? Parents with no brains, kids with no brains, everybody can't make nothing work. It ain't hard to make it out here in life. Nothing's changed.
Amen.
It's always cost money. Everything ran to cost to what people were earning. You know, when I was in the Army, I was in Vietnam, I was an E-5, you know, I was in a specialist class, E-5. Sorry, I'm E-5. I'm getting combat pay and everything. I only made $3,200 in an entire year. Don't you tell me about hard life and, oh, you just can't make it today. Oh, go jump. You know, Wanda and I live, and I said, as sinners, we made this choice. When Wanda got pregnant, I said to him, there's one thing I always admired was my mom was home with us kids. And I said to my wife, you know, we both had good jobs. But I said, you know, one of us is staying home with the kids. I said, if you won't keep working, you keep working and I'll stay home, whatever it is. But somebody's going to be home with the kid. Well, Wanda said she'd stay home and I work. Now, and Christians do this whole thing. Well, you can't make it without two people working. Well, it will cast the devil out of you. Who told you that? I was told that at Rhema. By some of the people who are the heads. Family members said, well, you can't make it out here and you need two people working. I thought, you need to get some faith. As a sinner, my wife and I made it work. In fact, I learned this as a sinner. I look back at this. You know, people who do right things get blessed. Whether sinner or saint, you follow right principles. If you're not getting blessed, you're not following right principles. I look back after I got saved and I look back, I thought, you know, Wanda and I never skipped a beat. She quit working. We lost about half of our pay, what we had coming in money-wise. But we didn't miss on it. We got blessed all along. Why? Amen. Doing a right thing. Mm-hmm. See, there was things we were sowing wasn't, we weren't even givers, but we were sowing into our kids better than most Christians do. Glory to God. We were sowing into our kids. We're sowing into people.
Amen. Hallelujah.
People got a lot of money in their pocket and lousy kids.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But it's what they did with it. They did it.
Mm-hmm.
No, we decided, as a sinner, stupid Ed, drunk, doing drugs, decided that'd be better if mom was home with the kids. I'm sorry. No college people would agree with me. They wonder, this is the way you do it, you know. Things have changed. God has not.
Amen.
The principles of God, see, this needs to become your meditation.
Amen.
Most places you'll hear preaching today, they have bought things in from the world and this is the way it is today and here's how you have to do it. I'm sorry, the Bible doesn't have a place where it changes its principles. It never changes them. All things are possible to him that believeth. As a sinner, I believed we could make it without my wife and I both working. I went to Raymond and found out they didn't believe that. And I thought, hey, these aren't the top people of faith. I was a sinner, had more than they had. That was the first time I found that stuff out. See, don't ever put yourself as somebody else that's such a great, right? Don't you ever go there with these people. Loads of people have learned how to make money preaching this stuff and do not practice it. There's loads of ministers and ministries. They don't tithe. But they tell you to. It's your job to give to me. It's your job to make sure your money comes my way. Oh, yeah. It would shock you to know, and people in giving, the money they have and what they give. It'd be shock you. But see, you got to learn why. See, my walk is about me and God. It is about me and somebody else. And God will lead you into a place. And see, the thing is, I always was really, really glad of was our kids growing up and that stuff. Even when Wanda did turn around and going to work and that, she always worked in a job, had to do with school. She was always off with the kids. Always. When the kids are home, she's home. We just always did that. Number one, the kids, they knew they had parents. Number one. We were sinners acting like that. Sinners acting crazy like that. And the saints can't believe it. I thought all things are possible to him that believeth, except in America and dealing with your kids and family, and then that's thrown out. That's done. See, I figured as a sinner, we could do it. As a sinner. I had people at work would come and ask me, how do you and your wife make it? I have people that we worked with where both the husband and wife worked the same place that I did. So they're making twice as much money as me. And they're having trouble. They're just trying to get there. How on earth do you have it? I said, well, you know, we don't have 12 car payments and paying for a house and all those other toys you're paying for and you're doing all this stuff. They come and ask me, how do you guys take such good vacations? I say, the reason you can't afford a vacation, I said, you bought no and everything in the world. You owe so much darn money. If you die, your kids are going to be paying until the millennium. Oh, yeah. See, we've got to get some debt going here, you know. We're believing and trusting the Lord. I'm not against all the things that having debt, but you got to use your head. Amen. On what you can do.
Amen.
You know, one night we didn't have a bunch of running around money and kind of stuff like that, but I'm going to tell you what, we did have a family. There's one thing as our kids knew, we liked them. You know, our kids grew up. When we go somewhere, they want to go along. We go on vacations. They want to go on vacations with us. They want to go. We don't ask them to make it. They want to do it. Why? Because we always have fun.
Amen.
But see, they know we like them. And we do. We like them. We like being around them. We let them know growing up. See, his parents would turn around. I always give these parents all this stuff. I've done this already. You know, people say, well, you know, these people, they end up in a nursing home and their family don't come and visit them. Well, you go around and ask questions. Why? Because they didn't have no mommy and daddy at home when they were kids. The parents never, you know, this is something with my dad. My dad was a very religious man. I know this is good. This is all on this meditation, because this is about lifestyle. This is the way you live. My dad was a very religious guy. And, in the family and stuff, he'd get very religious. He wouldn't do things. And like, you know, he never went to nobody's weddings. He never went to nobody, you know. If you wanted to see my dad, you had to go see him. You know, he never went, did nothing or that's just way. I can't complain. There was a lot of good virtues about that man. If that man gave you his word on something, I'm going to tell you, it was just like God spoke. And I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating. It was just like my dad. If he gave his word on something, I don't care what came up. If he had a Sally's car to take care of what he said he'd do, he'd do it in a minute. That's just this way he was. My dad was just as honest as you could count on my dad like a son coming up in the morning. He was going to always do it. I thank God for that. I thank God I could be raised around somebody like that. But he never would. He never developed relationships with his kids. And I'll never forget, you know, they ended up, you know, in a nursing home. Like, he was in the late 80s at the time. And they were in a place, they were very comfortable in the place where they were at and that stuff. They had their own rooms and stuff and things, and it was very nice. But he made one time, somebody in the family, we have a large family, somebody would always be there sometime or another. They got visited quite often. But my dad sort of got this idea that somebody ought to be living in there with him, you know, and stuff. And I went in one time and my dad said to me, he said, oh, I think the kids ought to visit us more. I said, Dad, if we were like you, we'd never come. I said, you can be glad your kids didn't turn out like you. I said, where were you when we did that? Nothing in life. I said, anything in school, any come, nothing. You were never involved. You never got into nothing, ever did nothing. And I said, now you expect to reap something you ain't ever sown. I said to him, I said, Dad, you want a relationship with me you never made. I said, I can't give it to you. You have to make it. I always understand that about it. So many people want relationships they've never made. I see husband and wives do that. They want relationships they never made. You got to make them. Because I'm going to tell you what, as you get older, it'll get uglier. It don't get better. It gets uglier. So you got to decide that. You decide what you do. See, we're not a society of building relationships. We're all about me and what I get to do and what works for me and what mine. And I like doing this and I like doing that. Me, I always thought it didn't, you know, especially when I got to be a Christian. It didn't matter. I had obligation to other things. I had obligation to my family. Those things came first. There's stuff that came before that. So one thing is my kids never grew up not liking the ministry because of ministry. My ministry never robbed from them. God and I had a wonderful agreement. He told me that if I'd do anything he'd tell me to do, he'd take care of my family. We had an agreement on that. And I'd remind him of it every once in a while. I'd always say to him, Lord, say you want me to do this or that. Well, Lord, I will do that, but you don't have to do this because you need to take care of my family. My family gets taken care of. God didn't call my family the ministry. He called me. You know, Raymond said, well, the whole family's called. You go jump. You go do that yourself. I saw what happened with their families not working out. See, people preach that stuff, but they preach because somebody else preaches. It sounds really nice, don't it? Sounds really, we're all in it together. I'm sorry. My wife's not called. She doesn't have an anointing for the full-time ministry. That's right. I can't expect her to just flop along and do whatever I want. That ain't the way it works. Mm-hmm. I'm called to it. Mm-hmm. Go look at the apostles. Peter, do you think his wife went and ran around the ministry with him everywhere?
Nope.
You think she was taken care of? Bet your booties. She'd be taken care of. See, we need to get around. We need to get around a little bit of thinking. We have so much of the world in the church. We talk about believing and all this kind of stuff. So I never expected out of my family. One thing is I always expected out of my family, though, is to live right. They need to do right, live right. I never complained about somebody else's kids doing stuff when my kids were doing it too. I was one of these people that are mad at somebody else's kids and their kid's more of a heathen than the other person they're complaining about. Oh, I've seen that in the ministry. I had to take a pastor and his wife aside and just tell them about their heathen kid that they ain't dealing with. And the pastor's making remarks about kids in the church doing anything, and I just told him point blank. I said, your kid's the biggest hellion we got in the church. And I said, you either get it straightened out or I'm not going to be the youth leader anymore. Your kids, I don't want him in our youth ministry anymore. I said, he's nothing but a troublemaker and the other kids are sick of it because you let him get away with everything and you're over here with them pointing the finger. You see, I'm this really quiet, cute guy, you know. And his wife stood there and cried, oh, my little baby. I just, oh, you're a little baby. He was a brat. And he was. He's staying home when the youth group's going home. He's staying home, has his girlfriend come over and his parents don't know about and having sex with him. Coming and bragging about it to the other kids. The other kids get to listen to the stuff the pastor's kids do. And I just threw everything under the bus and them with it. And I said, I won't have that anymore. I said, I don't want him in the youth group. Because I said, he comes in. I said, he better be there all the time and sitting down. The way he has homework. I said, he'll bring his homework in and he can do his homework there. He'll be here. If he's not, I said, he's out and he ain't coming back or I'm leaving. You got it.
Amen.
Well, he couldn't have got anybody else to take the youth group. But I'm going to tell you what, the rest of that youth followed God. It's amazing what those kids did. So you teach kids and walk right kids. Those kids, we got over to where we turned the entire finances of the youth group over to the kids of what to do with the money. Wow. And I'll tell you, they had more faith than the adults did in the church. They could believe God for more because, you know, we taught. Lord told me, he says, you just teach them like you know about faith and money that you and Wanda do. And we just start telling. He said, you tell them, you know, you want us to believe for certain things and you're going to do certain things. We would do that. And they would see it come to pass. And they, well, explain more to us about it. We started telling, these kids got onto it, man. I'll tell you, they were on it.
Amen.
See, this is about, I'm teaching, you're meditating, you're thinking now about what I'm talking about. This is meditation time. This is time you sit and meditate, think about that. See, we taught these kids. They turned around. We're going on a treat. See, the pastor, he wanted to have a youth group, but he wasn't a guy to give the money. You know, he wanted you to sell stuff. Lord told me, you don't do that. You know, selling stuff. You know, I'm sorry. I'm not a buyer and seller. I ain't going to do that. We ain't selling stuff, trying to make money like that. I ain't going into those things. And, see, I'm going to believe you give, sow, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, anyhow, he said the youth. So I started talking to them about, you know, and they'd bring money. I just tell them, say, you know, do it. I said, don't ask your parents for money. Don't ask them for money. I said, that's arrogant. Don't, you know, whatever you can do, you give. You have anything that's yours and you give some of them. And just started teaching them and that kind of things. Tell them what Wanda and I do and our giving and that stuff. These kids started practicing this. So we're going to go on a retreat. Now we were on a retreat. Retreats weren't, you know, like only the kids who could afford to go on a thing and stuff like that. Some church do that. You have to have come up with the money and that kind of thing. I was just a bit, well, we're all going on a retreat. Everybody goes. See, everybody goes. This is the way that we do it. Everybody's going. How much money do we have? Well, we had a certain amount of money there, but it wasn't near enough money, you know. I don't know if it was even quite $500 of what we had to go on this retreat. And the retreat was going to cost thousands, and we didn't have that kind of money. So I sat down and I talked to them about it. And they said, well, we looked. I said, here's the finances. This is what we got. And I asked them what they thought, you know. Well, what do you guys think about this? They said, well, the amount of money we have, they said, ain't much of anything to even make a difference about whether we can go or not. So, well, what do you think we ought to do? Well, we had a visitor there that week in the youth group. One of the kids brought a friend from school along who was in another church. And she was going on a mission trip. And so the kids got decided to ask her about the mission trip and how much it costs and that stuff. And they said, well, let's give the money to her for the mission trip. And they gave everybody, they gave all the money to her. Now, they don't have zero. They gave all the money to her. So they did that. They said, well, we're just going to believe God. This is what they did. These are the kids. You'd have never got that from the adults upstairs. How about mine? You'd have never had it from them people. You know, it's really, you're stupid, you're crazy, you know. You gotta use wisdom. You know, one of those things. Remember the old, you gotta use wisdom thing. Anyhow. Those kids. Well, we turned around and ended up having the treat. All the money we needed for the retreat came in. And when everything was over, we had the exact amount in the account that they gave away. And everybody went on the retreat. So, you know, these are kids believe in God. Say, here, let's go do this. Let's do this. See, God proved it to them on the word working. See, it's whatever your meditation. They were paying attention to what we were talking about and doing. Many times adults don't pay no attention. They hear teaching, say, that's good. But they don't ever do it. Mm-hmm. They don't just ever listen to it. You got to get doing it. You see, they did it. What I did is put something in their hands to do. Let me tell you about this. Just talk about a principle concerning meditation. I've talked about some of these things before. You know, it's one of the things like, say, going to school, whatever you go for. You know, one of the things they do is they have tests. When you go to school, at least you should. You have tests, and those tests prove things out. But you need to understand it. This is all part of meditation. You see, when you go to school, that means you're going to have to study if you want to succeed at. That's part of meditation. You see, you don't take tests here at church. You know, I think all they ought to give is Christians tests to prove that you're actually listening and paying attention to things. Oh, yeah. I've known it many times that I could walk here on a Sunday morning and ask what was preached last week, and most people could never tell you. I've learned that a long time ago. You see, when I was away over at the beginning of the year there, I was down in meetings down in Pensacola, and Mike was teaching. I just, there's things he's saying I just remember. I mean, I just, you know, his teaching and what he's remembered, but about the things you're supposed to think on. Remember that? See, that's all part of meditation. Things you think on. What you think. He was talking about that. Used the scriptures from Philippians on what we're supposed to think on. See, but most people, if I'd have said here today, how many remember what Mike taught then? How many of you would have known what it was? I don't look back on things and say, Mike taught this, what he taught about. But you know what? I remember because, see, it speaks in line of where my meditations and what I'm thinking and the things that I'm doing. It speaks in line of those things. The things you need to know. See, when this I'm gonna tell you, what I'm teaching here is highly important. This is the highly important stuff. If you don't get this, this is about your meditations from day to day of what you're doing and what you're walking in, what you're thinking on. Because you're going to face challenges. And we're living in a day of a lot of challenges. And see, if somebody don't give you a test, you need to make one up for yourself and take it. You see, when you went to school, they want to find out if you learned something. They give you tests to find out what you learned. That is a good, that's part of meditation. I would have to take my notes and stuff in Bible school and I'd have to go over them for tests and go over the things that I learned. Why? And then they're going to test me to see if I remember. Because why? If I didn't learn nothing there, well then my meditations are going to be not in line. See, this is people go home and, you know, church is just a place you go to a time and phew, out the door. And now we got the 20-minute sermon job. We ain't got enough to even get your feet wet and anything to meditate on. And you're out the door and you're gone and that stuff. And people during the week, they're thinking everything of the world. They're just the world system and what it's doing. See, meditation takes a lot of time. It becomes a lifestyle of thinking. When you're on your job, when situations and problems, what do you think? I mean, just use it naturally. Wanda and I were just, this came up to me because Wanda and I was the last week, I think it was, might have been last Friday or something like that was, that she does this thing, Wordle, you know, they have a, it's online, you do it with the word, they have a word and then you got to figure out what the word is, you know, and a thing, and she does that all the time. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, some of these, you need to use your mind sometimes and do things that you use your mind, because I'm just going to tell you, this is what happens to people get older. They've done cognitive studies on people with Alzheimer's and they have found this out. Alzheimer's can't take over in a person's mind who uses it a lot. It can't take over really quick. This is why a lot of people get dumb when they get older, because their brain, that ain't on work. It's on idle, and that's where it stays. It's just enough to keep them breathing and keep their heartbeat, but other than that, that's it. Because they don't use it. It's like your muscles in your arm. You never use them. Your brain is an organ in your body that needs to be used. Mm-hmm. Do things that'll turn around. See, like with study, me studying and there's things, I read stuff. I like to read things about, you know, new things of inventions and stuff and things. I do things keep your mind going and keep you thinking about things and learning stuff. You gotta use your head. You gotta get thinking on stuff. Well, in his doing that, well anyhow, Wanda was going to Wordle thing, just like that. Just meditating on the right thing. So her and I are sitting there, and this word, I mean, she said to me, well, could you figure this thing out? And I looked out there, I was going through, and I was going through all these different words, and just, nothing's jogging that stuff. And so you're going on there, just use your mind. So I got up on the table, we were both up for breakfast, and I got over, and I walked over to the counter to get something, and all of a sudden I thought, Lord, we don't just, give us wisdom. What is this word? I bet I hadn't got that out of my mouth 10 seconds. And she said, I know what it is. But you know what? See, I hadn't asked. You see, when I got my meditation in the right spot, when I start, see, I know to ask God. I have done it thousands and thousands of times where I stopped, Lord, what do I need to do about this? That's when James was writing about wisdom, he wasn't talking about just Bible stuff. In life, you need wisdom? Ask God, who gives it liberally. How often do you ever do that? How often is your meditation, if that ever comes up to you, to think about it? Well, we got this problem, and I just don't know what to do. Let's call and ask somebody else. Ask this person what they think. Ask that person. God's living in him and never talk to him. See, your meditation. See, if your meditation is straight, God keeping God, that's why I always say, when I heard Dr. Cho many years ago made this statement, no matter he said, I could be in a meeting with world leaders, and he said, my heart's always turned toward God. Oh, that's always stuck with me. I want to keep my heart turned. See, I want to have a meditation.
Amen.
That is always toward, that I'm think, hey, I'll think in line over here with God. What would he do? See, people don't do that. People don't think that way. They'll go through all the natural things before they stop and ask God. All the natural. They go through all the things. Like he don't know in your job, like you're such an expert. Get a life. You're a lot dumber than you think. Get over it. See, people, we get so full of ourselves in education. You know, it's like me, I've learned to use a computer for things and stuff. Well, there's things I don't, you know, need to try to figure out or try to go read 27 books to get it. I mean, I can go on and find out about it. I mean, ain't that smart to do? But we have God in us and don't even think lots of times about going to God with stuff about it. It's about our meditations. That's why keeping yourself over. See, all the time, you run into decisions in life. You know, I got to be a Christian and working at Reese Candy Company. We had just making decisions on things. One of our main supervisors, I was under. We had a breakdown, and I talked to him about it, and we had a thing anyhow. We had a flour bin and that stuff that made the Kit Kat kitchen where they use the flour to make the wafers. Well, we had a thing inside of it, went out and was getting metal into the flour. So we popped the bin open and that stuff and replaced, you know, the parts and stuff. And he told us to start the thing right back up and, you know, start it up and run it. And I said, no, I said, we got to dump that flour. Cause I said, there's metal shavings and stuff getting in things. And, we'll pick a magnet, so pick that. I said, no, I said, we know better than that. There's metal in things. I said, we're required by law to dump that. Mm-hmm. Well, he told me, he said, we're not going to dump it. And he said, about start it up. I said, no, I ain't starting it. I said, you want to start it? You start it. Cause I said, it goes wrong. This is your baby. I said, I won't. He said, if you don't start it, you know I can fire you. I said, yes, you can fire me. You have that right. But see, what he's telling me to do is against the law. It's not right. Mm-hmm. And I just told him, you can fire me. I don't care to lose my job. I ain't sinning over some man. See, most people wouldn't do that today. They'll sin because I need my job. Mm-hmm. I said, nope, I won't do it. But I said, I'm just going to tell you this. I said, you're going to have to explain to the company while, you know, all these government agents here living in our company right now. Because of what you did. Because I said, I'm going to report you. I said, you start that sucker up. I said, they're going to want to hear about it. And I said, I might lose my job, but I said, you'll never get a job anywhere. I said, you do whatever you want. Well, he decided to change his mind. But I ain't moving. You fired me. I don't care. See, you got to become a moral. See, you got to meditate on what's right and do what's right no matter what anybody else does. If God can't take care of me for doing what's right, he needs to go get another job. He ain't as good as he said he was. He can't do as much as he said he can. But see, this is where your meditation. See, when a thing come up, my meditations, because of what I have meditated on and think in my life, gave the answer immediately. I didn't have to get a prayer chain and go ask the pastor, what do you think I ought to do here? And have the pastor say, well, you don't want to lose your job. You're going to need that because I need your money. I need your tithe, you know. That's good preaching though, folks, ain't it? Let's stand to our feet. We went long, but hallelujah, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good nonetheless. See, this is all about, but see, every day in life, we're going to talk about this more, is every day in life. What we're doing, what we're walking along, and what we're thinking about, the meditation, and then it goes to doing. It is going to require courage of you many times to do the right thing.
Amen.
It requires courage. It's not always easy. I've learned this has always helped me personally in my life. I won't go home. If I know what to do is right, I will immediately do it because I don't want to give myself no time to think about this. It's like when he told me, he said, you know, I could fire you, I immediately said, go right ahead and fire me. I said, but I ain't going to do it. I just, you know, I don't want to go home and think about it. I don't want to do that. No. Because, you know, there'll be other voices speaking.
Yep, that's right.
And so you got to follow what's in right with you. And this is why we meditate on things and we do things. To end up doing what's right. I've learned this. The doing is what brings a blessing.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The doing. Get that in your mind. The believing don't bring a blessing if they ain't doing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. You want to believe. You want to believe right. I'm into this. You get over here. See, meditation will lead you to do. That's what it's always going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to give you information to do. Information to do. That's what it is. See, faith comes. Faith comes. It's what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling you what to believe and what to do. So get that in yourself about meditation. That's why you're going to have to do this. You can't go home and get in a room and sit down. Now I got to hear from God what's the right thing to do. Maybe sometimes you might have to do that. But most of the time you're out here in life doing things.
Yeah.
If your meditations have been right, you're going to have right wisdom right away of what to do. You're going to know. This is the way I got to conduct my life. This is the way I got to do. This is what I'm responsible for as a Christian to do, is to walk it. That's why you want to do that. Doing the right thing, because the right thing will bless you.
Amen.
It will. Now the world's going to say, you know, I'm just going to tell you this. Sometimes walking by faith, it just is going to cause you more trouble than a little bit, because people get unhappy about it. But God's a happy.
Amen.
I'd rather have God happy than me than people.
Hallelujah.
He can do more for me than people can do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But see, you want to walk right. Another thing that you do, when you learn to walk right in front of other people, you'll inspire other people to do what's right.
That's right.
So everybody's waiting for somebody else to do it. I figure, I'll just go do it. Yeah, just go do it. You know, they're just, it's the right thing to do. Let's go do it. Hallelujah. See, you learn to walk. Getting over any areas of the fear of things. See, there's Christians. See, like I get, like myself in the area, like in giving, and the Lord will speak to me, and He speaks to me a lot about the areas of giving. One of the things I asked Him about, I said, why are you always telling me to give money to something that stuff? He said, because if I ask you, you'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes people, God has gotten tired of asking them. He don't talk to them about things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
People say, God never asked me about giving money. Yeah, He's tried that 417 times, and you ain't never responded to Him. And I want you to know this. Now this is spiritual principle. We reap what we sow.
Mm-hmm.
If you are slow to respond to God, you're going to find the things that come to you come very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
You reap what you sow.
Amen.
See, I learned to respond quick. And you know what? My needs, it comes to me quicker.
Hallelujah.
You need to learn these principles. They work.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
If you're slow to respond to God, don't be surprised. God tells you to go give somebody money for something. I've had people that I believe in God for money. People have waited over a year. God had talked to them and talked. They came and told me. The Lord told me to do this and I didn't do it. He said, spoke to me last year about this and I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I was supposed to give you this money, but I didn't do it. See, God's telling me. He's out there trying to get person to do something. Too. Wow, what's going to happen? You're going to have a need one day. And that guy that lives inside you, the God guy, He might remind you about what you didn't do. You might get chastened. Now look, I know I'm the only one that's ever got that happening. The rest of you have just been, my words, I just see the wings sprouting on you now. And I just,
Hallelujah!
Now God's good. See, it's a wonderful life. It is. It is a wonderful life. When I first started off, I thought this Christian walk, Jerry Seville helped me this years ago, and I was listening to a tape of Jerry Seville when I first got to be a Christian, because I really did. I felt like I was going cross-grained to everybody and everything, and I really was. So the Christianity I was around, me and my wife were like, man, we're... And I'll never forget hearing Jerry Seville. He talked about he got saved, and he used to give everybody's testimony of how he first got saved and how things went. But I'll never forget this part of the message, I just have never got it out of my mind. He said, I felt like I was in a boat paddling upstream. And he said, all the other Christians were coasting down through in a boat the other way. And he was like, come with us. Come on, Jerry. You don't have to paddle up. You don't have to do it. Come on down here. Come on, join us. And he said, I just knew what God was dealing with. I need to do it. And I thought, oh my God, I know what he's talking about. When I first started as Christians were the hardest on me of anybody. Of, no, you don't have to walk. You don't. Yeah, you come join us. You know, we're over here. We're floating. And I thought, this is the way I felt. I felt like, man, I was on the Niagara River right down below the falls trying to. I can tell you some of the things that Wanda and I went through with people. Over there. I mean, we felt like we were paddling and going nowhere. I thought, man, this thing where we're going, you're following, walking right. And Jerry said then over the years, he had more experience than I did. He had been saved a while. And Jerry said, you know, as I got going along and I kept walking, it's okay, it's easier and easier. And he said, you know, I got a sail now.
Amen.
And you know what? I found out that's the way it goes. So you're running contrary to everything and everybody's trying, you know, I'm just going to tell you, the majority is almost always wrong.
Amen.
Always. Randall Greer said this, and he's right. He said, if you look at 80% of the churches heading today, if you go the opposite way, he said, by default, you'll be following God. There's a lot of truth in that. But I've learned this. The majority is almost always wrong. It's easy to go with majority. It's not to go the other way. But I thought, you know what? I don't find it hard for me today. I've meditated and walked in this for so long.
Amen.
It's just the way that it is. It's what I am. Hey,
hallelujah.
Here we are.
Thank you,
on the road. There's tests and trials in life, and they'll come along. They'll come along from sometime the devil's people. They'll come along from God's people. They'll do things, but you just walk it up. You just keep walking by faith. You just keep going along. You know, keep a smile on your face and laugh a lot. You know, I was told I laughed too much. I was told by spirit-filled people I laughed too much. I mean, you just want to rhyme God. You just want to cast the spirit out of them, but I guess they'd lose their personality if you did. That's all they got. But just people, you laugh too much. I was too happy. I was told I was too happy. We're going to get sad and cry a lot more, I guess. I don't know. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I just want to thank you today. Father, as if anything the church world needs is the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. And Father God, especially in this day and time, I pray most diligently, Lord God. Lord, because you said in the scripture that Jesus himself tells us in Ephesians that he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And Lord God, if anything we need today in the church world is leaders walking in the word.
Amen.
There's a great need, a huge need, Lord God. Lord, for people, Lord God, especially standing before your people, that the truth is spoken to them, that they're told, hallelujah. Lord God, that they're trained on how to walk a victorious life, that they're trained, Lord God, to know in these days and times, there is just such a great need, hallelujah, for an army of people to rise up full of faith in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. To stand before, especially, Lord God, Lord, there's so many people that they're looking for leaders. They are truly, look, Jesus, you said in your day, they're like sheep without shepherds. Lord God, they're stumbling along on their own, and there's not leaders standing before them to tell them the true directions. Lord, I thank you for everyone that is, Lord God. Lord, there are many, many, many good ministers out here, but Lord God, it is such a huge flock. Such an enormous flock, and there needs to be more raised up, Lord God. Hallelujah. Raised up, Lord God, by your hand, not by the hand of man, but raised up, Lord God, that will speak by your voice, that will speak, Lord God, not promoting their own ideas and their own thinkings, but promoting Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Lord God, there are so many dear people, and Lord God, they didn't try to go astray. Lord God, people led them astray. They led them out into things, Father God, and they've stumbled and they've fallen. But Lord God, Lord, I want to thank you. You love your sheep.
Amen.
You love your sheep, Lord God. And Father God, Father, I believe in this last day, Lord God, and I pray and I believe, Lord God, you're going to send up some loud voices. Hallelujah. Some loud voices that will speak forth, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, there's people I believe today, Lord, that seem to be hidden that nobody knows. But I believe, Lord God, you'll bring them out in these last days. You will bring their voice out in this last day to bring truth. Hallelujah. Lord God, to bring strength back to the church again. Hallelujah. That we're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lord God, full of the strength of God and the ability of God given to us freely by Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we just thank you. Father God, I pray for this people, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, this is your church. And Lord God, the devil ain't going to have them. The devil ain't going to have their lives. I bind you, devil, over them. And what you do is come against their minds, trying to operate against them to lead them away from truth in any manner. I refuse to let you do that in the name of Jesus. I command you to cease and desist in your operations. I thank you. Their minds are clear to think, hallelujah, in the directions that God has given them. The word is rising up on the inside of them. I thank you the meditations of their hearts and mind are in line with the word of God. That they're full of strength, Lord God, and ability in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, wisdom comes to them easily and freely in the name of Jesus. Lord God, they're making right and wise decisions in life. Hallelujah. That bring encouragement and strength, not just to them, but to others around them. Lord God, Lord, raise up leaders. Hallelujah. People who can lead the way to others who don't know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, Our expectations in this time, hallelujah, is for your hand to come forth upon men and women in the name of Jesus and to anoint them, Lord God, hallelujah. That your hand, hallelujah, that men would look and say and know that there's a God in heaven, hallelujah. That it's no longer just men doing things. It's no longer the ideas of men, but it's God's glory coming forth in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. Lord God, Lord, there's never have been revival where you have not raised up men and women, sometimes obscure people who nobody knew, but you raised them up and brought them forth. Hallelujah. Lord God, these are the days and these are the times. Hallelujah. Father God, Father, Lord, it isn't about the promotion of men and even myself. Lord God, Lord, if this is all I do, I'm fine. If it's your will, I just sit and do whatever I'm doing right now. But Lord God, I'll ask you to raise up others. Hallelujah. Raise them up in the name of Jesus. Anoint them, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father God, for them to go forth. Hallelujah. Lord God, because it's not about the promotion of men. It's not about us being seen. It's about Jesus Christ being seen. And I thank you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, I just want to thank you today, Lord God, concerning Mike and Eileen Lozier. Lord God, with Eileen, I just want to thank you, Lord, that your wonderful Holy Spirit's quickening in her body. Her body, right now in the name of Jesus. I'm just so thankful. Lord God, we are so grateful for what you have done in this instant, Lord God. Lord, we truly was. The thief came to steal and kill and destroy, but you're the life giver. Hallelujah. Lord God, thank you what doctors can do, but Lord God, we give you the glory and praise. Lord God, if you didn't give wisdom to men, they'd know nothing. Hallelujah. If you wasn't for you, Lord God, and we recognize it's your hand, it's only good comes from heaven. Hallelujah. Only good comes from heaven. And we just thank you. Every good and perfect gift. And Lord God, I thank you it's working in her body right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, the good work that you started, you're bringing it to completion in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I want to thank you to encourage Mike too, Lord God. Lord, I know what it is when you're under pressure. Lord God, I'm sure the devil wants to bring pressure on him, but we're not allowing you, devil. We command you to get your hand off of him in the name of Jesus. Father God, Father, we pray for him to be strengthened in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father, that he'll have wisdom and understanding, Lord God, of what to do and how to walk. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ glorified, be a wonderful witness to his family. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, you're wonderful. And I'm just so glad. I'm so glad we have you to rest and trust in. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God. Hallelujah. Because we don't know what to do without you. Without you, we can do nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we don't have to. We got you. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. We thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit just wants me to say this to you. Just encourage yourself, you know, as a fact. You know, let the weak say I'm strong. No matter what you're going through and how hard it is dealing something, get the right thing on your voice. Talk about you having strength. Glory to God, I have strength. I have strength. Get that. Get that where a thing is just natural to you that you only think about having strength and things. Yeah. You know, it doesn't happen right away. You know, you go to things you don't, you know, it's not overnight. But I tell you, over the years of saying the right things, I'll tell you, when situations arise, I'm not a guy to crumble.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'll tell you what, I'm like the Statue of Liberty. We're staying. I can hold my arm up.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Woo!
Hallelujah. But you know what I know? You know what? The Word did that to me. Saying it. And so I just started agreeing with it. I just started saying it's right. Hallelujah. The weak say I'm strong. Mm-hmm. You know, they sing a song, let the weak say I'm strong, let the poor say I'm rich. Mm-hmm. For what the Lord has done for me. See, saying the right things.
Yes.
Don't talk about your failures.
Amen.
Talk about what God's doing in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It don't look like you have enough. Say, I have more than enough.
Amen.
See, just keep saying and saying the right thing. Concern your body. Your body's trying to do something else. You talk to your body. See, I learned about that in speaking. You know, I very seldom ever pray about my body and healing. I talk to my body. So one thing is the Lord, many years ago, just a young Christian, he asked me if I noticed something. He said, did you ever notice that Jesus never prayed about Adam and objects? He spoke to the winds. He said, you can speak to mountains. He said, he didn't pray about it. He said he spoke to him. And I got over to where I started to understand that. And see, he said, I don't pray about storms. I talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
I tell him. You see, people sit around there, I'm praying. No, talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
You tell him what you want it to do. See, I talk to my body. My body says, you know, I just want to go quit. Let's go over here. I say, body, shut up. This is what we're going to do. You're going to do this. This is what you're going to do. Hallelujah. And it says, you know, my body says, don't you know I'm getting, you're getting older? I say, yes, I do. And you're getting awful mouthy. Shut up. Get over here. You got to talk to him. Sometimes you got to do it often. And sometimes my body's like a stubborn child. It doesn't want to right away do it. Hallelujah. But you know, you got to whoop it once in a while, you know.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know how you whoop your body? You make it do what it didn't want to do.
Amen.
That's how you do it. Amen. And then it learns to shut up because if I don't, he'll do it again. I don't want to do it again.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Have a glorious week.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.